I had a very beautiful funeral this week. We were burying Dino Aduccio. Dino was a very faithful Catholic, and for most part of his life, he was very faithful and regular mass goer, just a good Italian Catholic. As Dino and his wife Carmela got older, they moved to North Carolina. But something happened when they got there. Dino, all of a sudden, stopped going to church. From the notes that his family gave me, they said that he was mad at God. Dino's wife, Carmela, had been sick for most part of her life. And this illness was really, really disappointing for Dino. And he prayed to God to heal his wife, and the healing never happened. And so for some reason, the move from here, probably, you know, and the age and everything else, did something, and Dino just stopped going to church, and as his family said, he was mad with God. Now, I interpreted Dino's anger and disappointment with God as an act of faith. It's like in a marriage. Being mad with one another means that there still is a relationship. It's when you are no longer mad, then you know the relationship is over. In any case, it is how Dino died that is truly moving. On this particular day, Dino asked his wife to just get into bed with him and to lie there with him. And knowing Carmela, she had plenty of things to do in the house. She refused in the beginning. You know, he's being just silly or whatever it is that she thought. But he kept insisting. And so finally she gave in and she got into bed with him to lie down next to him. And that is how he died. Dino was mad with God, but as I said, it was an act of faith. And God responded to Dino this most, by giving him, as it were, this most beautiful parting gift. He died lying next to his wife. Folks, like Dino, most of us experience a discrepancy between how we intend life to happen and how many things in life turn out. We want it to go one way, but not everything works out like we intend it to. And you have a similar situation in today's gospel reading. Remember last week, Peter had just confessed that Jesus is the Christ, and Jesus had given him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus gave them an instruction that is really surprising. He said he strictly ordered them not to go and tell anyone that he was the Christ. Why did he do that? The reason Jesus did that was because there was a discrepancy between the kind of Messiah that Israel was expecting and the kind of Messiah that Jesus would reveal himself to be. So the Messiah in the Israelite expectation is this traditional warrior hero who would come into the town riding into battle with a victory sign. But Jesus' understanding of the Messiah is so contrary to the expectation that the people had, that if they came to know that he was the Messiah, they would actually take him and make him king right then and there. And this would not allow Jesus the time to really reveal to his disciples and to the world that his messiahship is not this triumphalistic messiahship, but that his messiahship is that of a suffering messiah. So Jesus tells his disciples, don't tell anybody yet. But then Peter struggles. When he hears that Jesus must suffer, he is shaken to his core because that is not what he expected. There's a discrepancy between his expectation of a Messiah and who Jesus was saying he would be. Not in his wildest imagination did he expect a rejected, a suffering, a cross-bearing, persecuted, and crucified Messiah. Peter, in his wildest imagination, had not expected that. And he would not know that for some time yet. So he takes Jesus aside and he rebukes Jesus and said, God forbid, Lord, that this should happen to you. So from now on until his death, Jesus would work on the disciples and trying to remove the discrepancy between who they want him to be and who he really is. It's like us. The discrepancy between what we want life to be and sometimes what life offers us. So I want to reflect with you on this with my 3 points. And the first thing I want to really focus in on is our expectation versus realities in life. Did you hear that first reading from Jeremiah? The very first sentence, what does Jeremiah say? You duped me, O Lord. He feels cheated by God. In other words, he's expecting his prophetic ministry to be a certain kind of ministry, but he experiences intense suffering. In fact, we do not know for sure, but scripture scholars tell us that most probably Jeremiah was martyred. That's not what he expected. Folks, who among us deliberately looks for suffering, intentionally embraces insecurity, pain, and uncertainty? Nobody in their right mind deliberately does that. For that matter, who among us wants our loved ones to suffer? And yet, we learn soon that there is a discrepancy between what we would like life to offer and what it actually offers. Yes, children suffer. The innocent do get killed. Bad things do happen to good people. People hurt each other. We do fall ill and sometimes fatally. Our relationships sometimes break down. And if nothing else, sometimes natural disasters inflict pain and suffering upon us. Peter experienced something similar. God forbid, Lord, no such thing should ever happen to you. And then when Jesus says to Peter, you are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do, he's really inviting us to a certain way of life. That's what Jesus is doing by telling Peter, get behind me. I think Jesus is teaching his disciples that there are two ways to face the discrepancies of our lives. Two ways. With God or without God. When life happens, we can either face it with faith or without faith. And Jesus is teaching Peter and his disciples to face their lives, disappointments, sufferings with God and with faith. And that's the life of Jesus. He voluntarily embraces the cross for human redemption, but carries that cross with God's help. Even on the cross, when he feels abandoned by God, he still puts his faith in God. Into your hands I abandon my spirit. So there is not one person here today, and certainly my life is not free from pain or suffering. But when that happens, Jesus is teaching us, stay close to God. Keep your faith. God is with us. That's the first thing. Secondly, when we talk about the deeper meaning of the cross, why does Peter rebuke Jesus? Because Peter does not understand. Peter had no idea how suffering and death is related to Messiahship. He did not understand. He did not know. He simply did not know. Jesus, on the other hand, knew how God was intending to transform human history through the cross. Jesus knew that. And Jesus also knew that in order to accomplish God's plan, he would have to embrace the cross, literally, not metaphorically like we do, literally. And who would have thought that a cross meant for criminals could pack so much meaning and purpose? Who would have thought that embracing the cross and dying on it would transform how humanity approached God? Who would have thought that the cross could hide behind it so much love? Who would have ever thought that? Who would have thought that suffering freely embraced could bring such unfathomable goodness? When Jesus rebuked Peter and asked Satan to get behind him, Jesus was really inviting Peter to look deeper. A disciple must go deeper. And I think today Jesus is doing the same thing with us. Jesus says to us, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. He's really inviting us to go deep. We may not see it, but Dino's disappointment, his anger at God, our disappointments, our sufferings, as senseless as they may seem, have a purpose. Like Peter, we may not see it now, but God sees it, like Jesus saw the meaning of his own suffering. And here's the point, every cross, the one that Jesus carried and the ones that we carry, are not empty of meaning. They're not. If life offers us crosses, God offers us the grace to carry it and the meaning behind that cross. And thirdly, I want to talk about the necessity of suffering. This is what is truly surprising for me in Jesus' words. He says to us, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. In other words, there is almost a necessity of suffering that Jesus is proposing. And probably there are reasons for that. I think the first reason is because when today's gospel is written, persecution was real. The followers of Jesus were subjected to severe persecution. And many Christians, early Christians, had to endure intense suffering for the sake of following Jesus. The cross in today's saying, meant literally the cross. Early Christians perhaps were crucified like Jesus. We certainly know that Peter was upside down for the sake of Jesus. So the cross really meant the cross. But then when persecution ended, the cross took on a different meaning. For the early monks and the ascetics and for many others, the cross meant the willingness to discard those things that could come between God and them. This is true for us too. Folks, I think of the necessity of the cross as a path to discipleship. When our suffering is for a greater good, when we suffer with others to help carry their cross, when we embrace our cross in standing up for what is right, and when we suffer with faith, not knowing the purpose of our suffering, in all of these things we become like Christ. And that is why I said the necessity of the cross is a path to authentic discipleship. And I also want to say that nothing connects us to Christ like the cross. Nothing connects us more intimately to Christ than the cross, because when we carry our cross, then we are truly being like Christ. In fact, if we face suffering and if we carry a cross with faith, that is indeed a path to holiness. So I don't know what life offers you, and I don't know what life is going to offer me the next moment. I really don't. I know one thing for sure, that if you and I take up our cross and follow Jesus, God is certainly by our side. The Eucharist we celebrate today is because Jesus carried his cross. If we can share the bread and wine, it's because Jesus broke his body and shed his blood. And the Eucharist tells us of the deeper meaning of Christ's suffering and cross. In fact, we are bearing the fruit of him carrying the cross. So as we participate in the bread and wine today, as we receive Christ's body, let us keep one eye on the suffering that Jesus endured for our sake. Let's have the greatest respect for the cross of Christ. Let's have the greatest admiration for the suffering that Christ endured for us. Our redemption did not come easy. It came because Jesus took up his cross and followed his Father. He's inviting us to do the same. People of God said,